Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life. I'm doing a weird intro this time. The good, the bad, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and everything in between. I'm skipping the intro right now because I know this guy across the table, principal with 212 Benefits, who happens to be our show sponsor here at What the Health Just Happened. Joey Jansen, welcome for round... I'm not clapping.
He clapped for himself.
This is going to be a debacle.
Five, maybe?
You've been five times?
I think so. Oh, going back to like the very beginning?
Yeah, so Joey Jansen,
we'll call it five. Five's a nice
we're
going to
awkwardly
number.
Look at the camera. This is the weirdest intro in a while. What the Health Just Happened again. We talk about all things healthcare, community, business, and life, and we like to have fun. I think we're going to have some fun.
No, definitely not. No fun.
So you want to start business or nonsense?
Let's go business, because okay. It's probably going to go quickly to nonsense.
Yeah,
212 call. Benefits, that's the name of the organization. What does 212 Benefits do?
We manage employee benefits for small to mid-sized companies all throughout Florida, specifically North Central Florida, a little bit into Georgia, but predominantly North Central Florida.
So employee benefits, what does that mean?
So you have a job, right?
I have a job.
You have benefits through your employer, medical, dental, vision, short-term, long-term disability, maybe Aflac or Colonial. So all the businesses that provide those to their employees work with a broker. We are the broker or insurance agent that represents the insurance carriers to help educate and roll out those benefits for the employers that we work with.
So if you are an employee or an employer and you hear this, you're probably offering some type of benefits to your staff. There is someone attached to it somewhere, whether you know it or not.
They're really inexpensive too.
Brokers and consultants?
No, benefits. Oh. Health insurance specifically.
It's like, what? Again, just painting a picture. If you offer benefits, there is a consultant or broker tied to it somewhere, whether you know it or not.
Correct.
A lot of companies are like, oh, we don't have a consultant or a broker. Yes, you do. You just don't know who's making money.
Definitely have one.
That's good. So benefits, cheap or expensive?
Expensive.
Why?
Ooh, we're going there that quick?
That's tough.
That's a tough question. Lots of reasons. I would say that insurance is expensive because healthcare is expensive, because drugs are expensive, because there's a lot of middlemen in the industry. So middlemen being pharmacy benefit managers, brokers, insurance agents, like we're part of the overall cost. Now, I would argue that we provide a great deal of value, and hospitals obviously provide a great deal of value. But like everything, inflation, there's medical inflation, medical trend. Averages anywhere between 7% and 9% year over year. Has been that way since I started almost 17 years ago.
Go ahead, Trey.
Has there ever been a year where those numbers went down by chance on the cost side?
From an employer's perspective or for medical trend?
Just overall.
Overall, medical trend typically doesn't go down.
Okay.
But if an employer has a broker that is... say proactive and shops the market and looks at outside the box solutions, there's always times where benefits costs can go down.
Gotcha.
But moreover, if you're with insurance carrier A and it renews in January, the chances of those rates going down are slim to none. If it stays the same, that's a huge win. If it's a low single digit increase, that's almost
a win
as good
well.
As a flat.
Gotcha.
That's the weirdest thing about this industry. So I would say the immediate answer to your question, it has never gone down. The cost of healthcare and insurance never goes down. Now,
you say that. Do you think 10 years from now that trajectory could change?
I think it has to.
If you were being brutally honest.
I think it has to.
Yeah. Okay.
There's different ways. You could put somebody sitting right next to me, Chris Hamilton, Derek Wynn. Just those are guys that we work with that are in other states.
Shout out.
And we would, they would probably argue that the cost does go down for some employers when you manage benefits and you finance it differently. But the overall, from a big picture standpoint, the cost does not go down.
Gotcha.
Look at any inflation. The cost of everything will probably continue to go up. Well, except for TVs. Let's just keep going down, which I'm fine with. Individual organizations, their costs can stay flat or go down if you manage it properly. Like I say this, you cannot control a company's healthcare costs, no. But you can provide a service to help them make more informed decisions.
Correct.
To help their costs go down.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What are some other, I don't want to call them shiny objects. Everyone thinks of health insurance as the main employee benefit. What are other ones that companies typically offer or should?
Yeah, so I'm a big believer in disability insurance. So if you think about all the things that you're you insure in your life, obviously we're talking about health insurance. You typically get that through your employer. If you have an employer, get your benefits through them, you're typically getting life insurance through your employer. If you own a car, you have to have car insurance. If you own a house, you have to have homeowner's insurance. Typically, you don't have disability insurance, and disability insurance is it insures your income, right? So you get injured, you get hurt on the job, you've got to be able to still pay your bills. So disability insurance, whether you offer it where the employer pays for it, or it's a voluntary benefit, meaning the employees pay for it, it's going to be it's going to insure your paycheck. It's paycheck insurance.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So STD, short-term disability, is a short-term event, and you want to keep that paycheck.
It typically runs anywhere from 12 weeks, 13 weeks, all the way up to 26, and then it rolls into long-term disability that can go for 2 years, 5 years, or up to Social Security disability retirement age.
What industries are maybe need the STDs more than others? Are there hotbed industries that are
I would argue every adult yeah, that every, works and gets a paycheck, I would argue that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you definitely.
Would you?
Yeah, I would say.
If you are providing 100%. For your family or yourself, think about this. If your paycheck shuts off tomorrow because of an injury or, I say this, I just went to adult sleepaway camp. I filed for short-term disability so that my paycheck still came in and I didn't have to take PTO or was out. I don't mind.
I didn't know that. Okay, cool. Yeah.
And I mean, it doesn't cover your entire paycheck, right?
Fair enough, but
it's the insurance company doesn't want you to make 100% because they want you to come back to work.
Absolutely.
So they give you just enough to get by, but not enough for you to want to stay at home.
And when you mentioned it can be funded by the employees, is it like a pool that the employees, all that money goes into? Or is it just like Joey has his individual one?
You buy it from an insurance carrier, Mutual of Omaha, for example. Okay. Shout out George Talbot.
George is getting a lot of shout outs.
Yeah, he did.
So you provide a voluntary short-term disability. So the insurance carrier sets the premiums based off of some underwriting parameters. And then you elect that coverage based off of your income, age, and job title. And then you just pay the insurance through payroll deductions. And that's it.
Okay.
So you got, what about, what else? What about long-term care?
Yeah, long-term care is definitely one that was around before my time. My understanding, there used to be a ton of carriers that did it, and then they got out of the market because it got really expensive. It's definitely making a comeback. There's some traditional long-term insurance carriers. You can buy it on an individual basis. You can buy it on a group basis. Aflac is getting into that world. Allstate is getting into that world. I've heard some murmurs of some other insurance carriers that are getting into that world, but it's definitely one that's probably going to grow in popularity, and I've seen it in action through my wife's grandmother had long-term care insurance at the end of her life. It was definitely helpful for paying for their long-term care facilities. And then my uncle had it as well. Unfortunately, he only needed it for 2 weeks because he wasn't around that long in the long-term care facility, but it would have been very helpful for my aunt.
As more people kind of pour into long-term care, does that jack up the price, or is it actually kind of stay the same?
I don't even know.
I don't know the answer to that question. That's a good question. It's a very volatile benefit, and the cost of long-term care facilities has increased a lot over time. And just like individual insurance is very volatile, the cost of long-term care insurance got so high that people just got out of the market. When I say people got out of the market, I mean insurance carriers just stopped selling it.
Gotcha.
So there's very few carriers that actually sell it.
So try to briefly describe what long-term care is. We're talking about a lot of insurance here, really sexy stuff and exciting. But long-term care, like your version of what it is. I'll share mine too.
Yeah, so you, my uncle, for example, he had dementia. He ended up going into wasn't a nursing home.
Memory
care center. And memory care centers are really expensive. They're $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month, depending upon where you are, what part of the United States you live in. And long-term care insurance is going to pay for that cost or a portion of that cost. So you're not paying out of pocket for it. So you might pay long-term care insurance premium for 20 years at a relatively low cost per month. And when you need it, it's going to give you a $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 benefit to pay for your room and board, essentially.
I'll give you two versions of that perspective too. So my grandparents had an incredible long-term care insurance product. They had 24/7 care. Joey, stop making the faces. The way I explain it, if I decide I want long-term care, I'm putting money in a bucket so that my kids don't have to wipe my butt when I'm in a retirement home.
Yeah.
That's how I explain it. Yeah. So that my kids don't have to spend thousands of dollars funding it and worry about my safety and well-being when I'm older. I don't want my kids wiping my butt is the point I'm trying to make.
Does that make sense? Wipe their butts.
We did wipe their butts. That's fair. Okay. More about 212. You've been here how long?
16 years, going on 17.
You've been in employee benefits for 16 years.
I have been.
I cringed a little bit. I'm kidding.
I have been.
What have been the biggest changes in the industry that suck?
Oh, man. I feel like before I got into the industry, there was very few changes. So before I got in, the biggest thing to happen to the industry, and I could be wrong, so don't quote me on this, but my opinion, the biggest thing that happened to the industry was in 1998, they started COBRA. So COBRA benefits were not around until 1998. It was passed under the Clinton administration. I came into the industry right before healthcare reform was passed. I remember sitting on the couch when my oldest daughter was born, watching the Senate hearing when they were going to say whether it was going to continue or not, whether they're going to say they ended up calling it. I don't even remember what it was. If they called it a tax or they didn't call it a tax. I don't remember what it was, but it was that day that it continued and then it got pushed back. It got pushed back and ultimately it rolled out in 2014. That was the biggest change the industry had ever seen. So when I say, the Affordable Care Act, healthcare reform, if you are an employer of a certain size, 50 employees or more, applicable large employees, a mixture of full-time, part-time, there's an equation for it, you have to offer benefits. Not only do you have to offer benefits, they have to meet an actuarial value that's set by the insurance carrier, and it's got to meet a minimum affordability percentage that's set by the parameters of healthcare reform. That changes every year. It's either like a little over 8%, a little over 9%, fluctuates year over year. That was the biggest change in a very long time. Since then, you know, healthcare reform was a slow drip, right? It was a little bit in 2014, a little bit in 2015. Technology helped with the filing of 1094s and 1095s. So those are the tax filings that companies have to do to tell the government that they're offering benefits. Yep. After that, it was pretty quiet, right? That was in 2010 up until COVID. COVID was another huge wave of changes that didn't necessarily impact employee benefits, but impacted compliance and things that employers had to do. The Consolidated Appropriations Act that was just passed a few years ago, I would argue, has more legislation in it than the Affordable Care Act that employers do not know about. And it's like drinking from a fire hose, all the things that you need to do as it relates to the Consolidated Appropriations Act with transparency and care. Transparency and cost, how we brokers, our insurance agents are paid, hospital pricing needs to be published. There's so many things that are built into that piece of law that just a lot of people just didn't pay attention to it.
So Consolidated Appropriations Act, CAA. I know this, Trey's over there like, what is this guy talking about? But it's relevant to CEOs, CFOs, chief human resource officers. Like it matters now, you get in trouble. I want to go back. So a company in Florida has 51 plus full-time employees. They are required by law to offer benefits to their staff. What happens to them if they don't?
So they get penalized if their employees go onto the exchange and purchase insurance and get a subsidy. That's the trigger. Even if you offer benefits and an employee goes and gets a subsidy from the exchange, the employer can still be fined. You can fight it. You can show that you did all the things. There's an A penalty and a B penalty. The A penalty is I'm just not doing it. I'm going to pay $2,000 per employee per year. The B penalty is $3,000 per employee per year. So that's you are offering benefits, but it may not meet the affordability percentages. So they then get fined $3,000. And, you know, knock on wood, our success rate of you get a notification from the IRS typically 3 or 4 years after you file saying that all these things were out of compliance for these employees that got subsidies. Not one of our clients has paid a penalty to the IRS that I'm aware of, that have come to us for us to help them fight it.
That's my question. So worst case scenario, you're paying $3,000 per employee per year. Mm-hmm. Do companies like, oh, screw it, I'll eat that cost? Like large hospital
some
systems.
Some companies do.
And they're okay with that versus yeah. the opposite, which is paying probably more than that for an employee for
now
a year.
Now you think about the companies that, in at least in my experience that I've seen, say, you know what, I'm just going to roll the dice and pay a penalty if it ever comes to be, are typically companies that had never offered benefits before healthcare reform. So a lot of hospitalities, restaurants, hotels, because they have thousands of employees. They might have 1,000, 2,000 restaurant workers, but they only have 250 full-time people. And of those 250 full-time people, 80% of them are servers, and the other 20% are management and corporate people.
Corporate people. That's hard to say fast.
Yeah, corporate people.
Corporate people. Look what's happening right now. Consolidated Appropriations Act. Let's hit that a little bit more too, without going too far into the weeds. Why does it matter to business owners? Like, why is it so relevant? You need, if you don't know about this, you probably do at this point, but why does it matter?
There's just a lot of things that an employer is responsible to do inside of the Consolidated Appropriations Act. The most simple thing is they are supposed to receive a broker compensation disclosure every year. So you think about rollback years ago when 401k advisors, when that retirement industry became very regulated and how they were paid, it's kind of the same thing. You go up to any, I don't say any employer because they're a lot more educated today than they were 5 years ago. But 5 years ago, you walk up to a business owner and say, how's your insurance broker paid? I'm like, I don't know. They're paid through your how much you're paying in premium, how much your employers are paying, employees are paying in premium. And it's paid in form of a commission. And it's 4%, 5%, could be per employee per month, depending upon size. And then outside of that, there's so much layered into the CAA.
It's in place to create more transparency.
100%.
Hold more people accountable.
Correct.
Including brokers and consultants. Like you said a couple Correct. Years ago, if you asked a business owner how we're paid, they don't know. And most for years, the insurance carrier is the one paying the broker. There's other ways to fund it now. So essentially, if a rates go up, a broker is getting a promotion.
Correct. Yeah. So if your rates are going up 5% and you're not having an open dialogue about how much commission's being paid, whether it's a percentage or a per employee per month fee. Typically, if it's per employee per month, it stays pretty consistent unless you have a big influx of employees. But if it's percentage based, if it's just say it's 5% and your rates go up 20%, then your broker's going to get a raise.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you're paying $100,000 today, 5% commissions, $5,000. If you're paying $120,000 tomorrow, let's say $200,000 tomorrow, it's a big jump. But it's easier math. Then your broker's making $10,000 a year.
That was a problem for decades where a broker consultant, they're not incentivized to fight on your behalf because you're getting a promotion. Every time your cost goes up as a business owner, I'm making more money. That's backwards.
There's so many hidden fees though too, for especially for larger employers when you have pharmacy benefit managers, because you get paid a dispensing fee for prescription drugs that are paid. You might get paid some portion of the rebates that pharmaceutical companies are paying. There's so many things that go into how people are paid, going back to middlemen. It's not wrong. It's the industry in which we live in. You just have to communicate and be transparent about it.
With all the transparency, is the system better under the changes, or is it up for debate?
I would say it's going to be better.
Moving in the right direction.
It's moving in the right direction, right? It's like turning the Titanic in a bathtub. It's not going to happen overnight.
Fair enough.
What are some positive changes you've seen in 17 years?
I think technology has made the industry a lot more efficient. So I remember when I started, just basics, right? You go to an open enrollment meeting, you take a stack full of papers, and we were quote unquote cutting edge because we had a consolidated election form that somebody had that was still a piece of paper, but it's just one piece of paper that you have to fill out instead of 17 pieces of paper. But then we would take that piece of paper. It would either get faxed to us. Remember fax machines?
Oh, they still exist.
Or I'd pick it up and I'd put it onto a spreadsheet, send it into an insurance carrier, and then, I never forget this, there's a thing called a binder check, and you'd either mail the binder check, it's the first month's premium, into the insurance carrier, or I would go pick it up from our client's office, maybe it's a new client or old client, and in some cases, I would drive it to the Aetna building downtown, and there was a binder check drop box where you'd write the policy number, the group name, and you just drop it in the mailbox.
So I did that. So a check, for anyone that doesn't know, it's a paper document where you can fill out a number of
monetary amount. Technology has changed all that stuff through benefit enrollment systems, payroll companies. Now you can make all those elections on your phone, a tablet, a computer. It streamlines it all, puts it in a format that you can give it to the insurance carriers. You do ACH payments, automatic payments online for your first month's premium.
That's not
but technology has been the biggest positive change to make our lives. I would actually argue in some cases it makes it more challenging when you introduce called EDI feeds or API feeds, like electronic data interchanges between payroll systems and insurance carriers. It's supposed to make it easier, and it does ultimately. So that's like, if you make your election in your payroll system, it's going to automatically feed that election over to the insurance carrier. So nobody touches it. That's a positive change. But for healthcare in general, as far as cost goes, I'd say captives and self-insurance coming way down market to 40, 50 employees, if employers are willing to think outside the box and take on that risk. Because
save
it's
that.
Different.
Because I want to get, we'll talk about captives and self-insured second half. Who is your, because if you look at two total benefits, I'd say there's three buckets, right? I'm going to say it's 150 plus, second bucket's that 50 to 150. Like, who's your ideal client?
My
or organization
ideal client,
to work with, let's call it that.
Yeah. So privately owned, doesn't have a board, cares about their employees, and you can tell if they care about their employees by the types of benefits they offer. Growing. Did I say that?
No.
Growing. What I said, I just said this, but having one to two, maybe three decision makers. So you're actually talking to the person that's making the decision. but they have anywhere between 40 and 150 employees. We have clients that have well over 150 employees, and I'm more than happy to work with those too. But I just enjoy working with companies that have 40 to 150 because what you often find, especially in the 40 to 100 employer size, the value-added services that you get from us as your broker, you don't get from the other large brokers or just other brokers in general.
Yeah. Any shout outs? Because we got about a minute left here. I love shout outs. Maggie, LA, what's up, buddies?
You stole my thunder.
That's his daughter's, by the way. Sorry.
shout out to, I'm going to give a shout out to Trey.
Yeah, man. How about your wife? Happen.
She gets all the
She'll come up in a second.
Fair enough. That's true.
Trey's been along this ride. It's crazy. We've done this for almost 3 years now. But
I know what a captive is.
You know what a captive is?
I do, but we'll save it
for
the second half.
You said it on the episode. Yeah. Trey's learning some stuff in here. Joey Jansen, Principal, 212 Benefits. That's what the hell just happened. Welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. I'm excited because we have my brother from another mother, Joey Jansen, here. The first half, my goodness, did he geek out on health insurance employee benefits.
But it's more so compliance. I didn't think we were going to go down the compliance realm.
You definitely,
legislation.
It matters.
It was like healthcare law.
It matters. Yeah, a lot of employee benefit stuff, especially consolidated appropriations.
Disclaimer, I am not a legal expert. Please consult your attorneys.
Way to add that in there. Joey Jansen, principal with 212. Wonderful human. Healthy or not healthy? Ready?
Yep.
Being a Gator fan.
100% healthy. The healthiest.
DJ Lagway's body.
Healthy?
Healthy-ish. Being a Florida State fan.
Unhealthy.
Get out of here.
His colors are... Blech.
Healthy or not healthy, the Jaguars 2025 season?
11-6.
11-6?
I'll take
11
that.
11-6.
Jeez.
We're going off healthy or not healthy. I've got to bring this up. That helmet right there, can you tell, where's that helmet from?
That helmet is from my good friend Franklin Lentz's office in Gainesville, Florida, financial advisor. He and his family are very good friends with Steve Spurrier. So this is one of Steve Spurrier's helmets. So he says, from way back when. Seriously? And it was in his office. Eric and I were in Gainesville a couple of years ago. We were walking out and Eric's like, Franklin, Joey needs this for his office. He's like, take it. I've got so much memorabilia back in my house.
Yeah, it was later in the afternoon and you know, people were making wise decisions at that point.
Yeah, it was probably like,
who signed that?
Who did sign that?
Come on now.
No, I'm just kidding. That's Fred Taylor. That's my boy.
Dang. Fred Taylor.
That's my favorite Gator player.
Dang.
Fred Taylor's favorite Gator.
Yeah, I've got three of his autographs.
If you go in his office, it's a Gator shrine. It's
I've got a picture
gross.
From 1998 that I got when I was in high school. I have a jersey that was signed by him that showed up at my doorstep after I went to the Utah game. They had one of those auctions. I forgot that I ordered it, bought it at the Gator game. Until like 3-4 weeks later when it showed up. And then you got this for me when Fred Taylor spoke at the chamber luncheon a couple years ago.
Healthy or not healthy, Fred Taylor not being in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, unhealthy. He 100% needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Do you know his numbers?
Do I know his numbers? No, not off the top of my head.
He's like, the dude needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, it's not a delusional Jags fan if you look at his stats and the people ahead of him in the Hall of Fame and below him that are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, man, I just want to talk about sports. I know we shouldn't.
So we can talk. So, one thing, we talked about health insurance, we talked about employee benefits. That's what I do. That's what I've done for 17 years. If I could rewind my life back to 25, I may try to figure out how to get into the, I think it's disability insurance, but the insuring of athletes.
Ooh.
So like Jordan Travis, quarterback at Florida State, has an insurance policy that insures his quote unquote insurable value in case he gets injured before he goes to the NFL. Those are crazy expensive insurance policies that are very detailed. That's just a really fun world to be in. I don't know anything about it. I just know that exists.
Are there any current Florida players that are probably insured
of
your head?
I'm sure DJ Lagway is insured.
You got to think too, the world's changed. So NIL money, you're making money there, but you're looking at a lifelong earning potential as an athlete. So if you're a
Arch Manning,
I guarantee you he has some type of insurance policy on his body pending some crazy injury because he's going to lose out on the NFL money. What is it? Lloyd's of London?
Lloyd's of London. Yep.
They do those. So that's, let's do it, man.
Huge reinsurer in London.
Like your bet, like the best soccer players in the world have multi-million dollar policies on their legs.
I even remember, you know, like, I don't think they do this anymore, but or maybe they do. Who's the guy that used the guy that, rode motocross motorcycles that did that?
Travis Pastrana.
So on New Year's Eve, he would do those crazy jumps in Vegas, right? There is a company that insures the 30 seconds that he's in the air.
Genius.
Dude, or however long that he's off the ground.
This is a hard pivot here. Like the world of marketing, which we say this show is, it's like a marketing arm. I love doing it. You've learned a ton about social media, all this stuff. Good marketing products. Dude wipes.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever seen dude wipe stuff?
Oh,
they have
yeah.
genius things. Yeah. Like boxers, they put on the bottom of their shoes dude wipes for when they get knocked out. That was genius. I think Liquid Death has some really good marketing stuff. Yep. Insurance products. You have a talking duck.
Yep.
A talking lizard. Some cavemen. Jake from State Farm. Oh, this bore me now. We could do that. Let's start an insurance marketing firm.
Affleck's got some great marketing.
You like their stuff?
I mean, just think about the. Everybody knows the duck. Whatever they've done with the duck, everybody knows it. Deion Sanders and Nick Saban are their spokespeople, so there's clearly some profit there. Those guys aren't free.
That's how I look at like medications. If I see a commercial of a medication is a commercial on live TV, like that's the most expensive drug there is. That's how I look at insurance too. If I'm seeing these commercials, like they're paying millions of dollars a year to put their commercials on this stuff.
Healthy or not healthy?
What?
My prediction of 11-6.
I'm going not healthy, dude.
I don't think it's happening. Yeah.
I would be very happy with 9 wins. 11 would be great. Here we go.
I think it was T-Wig that said it on 1010XL. He wasn't on 1010XL, but he was doing some podcast, and I think he said he predicted 11-6. And then I was like, I started thinking about it, like the schedule. They have the second easiest schedule in the NFL.
Yeah, but they suck.
No, stop. Seven games last year by 6 points to us. Here you go. This is
the Panthers.
Here's a prediction, both you guys, right now.
Yeah, let it rip.
By the time this airs, the Jags Panthers will have played.
True.
So score prediction.
Yep.
And anything else you want to throw? I'll go first. I'll give you an example because I've already thought about this before this conversation. Jags win 27-21. Brenton Strange scores a touchdown. BTJ scores a touchdown. And there's a rushing touchdown. I just don't know who's going to be.
All right.
I'm calling that now.
Okay.
27-21. Okay. Brenton Strange, BTJ, and a rushing touchdown.
Is it here or is it in?
It's here.
It's here.
Okay.
I got 24-13. Trayvon Walker gets a sack. Deami Brown scores a touchdown. And Trevor Lawrence throws one.
Well, if Deami Brown gets a touchdown, Trevor
Lawrence throws one. He could run one in. He's a...
You want to take a shot at this?
No.
He's not even looking.
So Trayvon Walker has gotten a sack in the first game of the year since he's been in the league.
That's a cool stat. Okay. So who do the Gators play this weekend?
South Florida.
Prediction. Score.
Win by, I think the spread's 13.5. We cover the spread.
Florida State's got to have a 14-point spread, I would guess.
Yeah, they'll cover the spread.
Yeah, that'll be easy. Kent State, right? Or East?
Texas A&M. Not Texas A&M. East Texas A&M.
We got South Florida, and then we got a gauntlet. We go South Florida, LSU, Miami, Texas, Texas A&M.
Holy heck.
Ole Miss, Georgia, Florida State, Tennessee.
There's a lot of you should probably insure these players. That's a tough schedule. Yeah. How would you even create a product like that? It has to exist. It's got to be all Lloyds of London.
Yeah, I have no idea.
You got me fascinated.
I would venture to guess their agents are involved in it some way.
Yeah.
It's like connecting the dots. I've always been fascinated by that.
We had a chance. I still want to do this. I can't remember the guy's name. His uncle is a NIL agent.
Oh.
I think that'd be interesting.
Absolutely. I want to hear some numbers.
Yeah, and how are they negotiating? How does it work? That's a good question. If there was a topic you could sit down and have, what would it be?
I don't know.
About what? About NIL? Yeah,
anything. I'm saying if we could get someone in this room and have a topic other than a famous athlete, like I'd love to sit with Peyton Manning and talk to him.
Right.
But if you could get someone in this room in any topic, what would it be?
Any past president.
Well, that's a good one.
Any past president. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, I think Joey won that questionnaire.
I don't know who I would be, actually.
Get them to, like, if they were, you know, this is a dream scenario, right? They're going to come in, they're going to be on as honest as they can be, have an open conversation, just talk. I think George Bush would be
hysterical,
great to talk to. I think Bill Clinton would be great to talk to. I think Ronald Reagan would be great to talk to.
Honestly, all
FDR,
of them.
FDR, any sitting president, past sitting president, would be fascinating to talk to.
Even just sitting in the room having that conversation, what is a topic you'd hate to sit down and listen to or talk about?
Probably health insurance.
Employee benefits.
Yeah, I know. Health insurance. Hey, well, we ripped through 24 minutes.
Employee benefit
legislation.
We lost everybody.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, healthcare. That's probably up there of worst combo.
I don't care for politics. Like, if you're really diving in, like, let's talk far-leaning right, far-leaning left. I'd love to sit with the president, but...
Yeah, just to have a conversation with the president. Or like a university president.
Like UNF?
Like UNF's president.
We'll get the UNF president on here.
You guys, y'all's...
UF's president.
Yeah, he's a former senator of Nebraska, right? Is that right?
We just got a new president.
Oh, you did? Okay, never mind.
You're talking about Ben Sasse?
Yeah.
He's not there anymore.
Oh, dang.
He was there for less than a year, I believe. And then Fuchs came in. They just named somebody. They named somebody from Michigan, and he didn't get approved by the Board of Trustees, and they just named, I think, somebody from Columbia, and it's pending approval.
Interesting.
Let's go, man. Here we go.
Yeah, we went way off the rails.
Back to the really exciting stuff, employee benefits. When do companies make changes? I think it's important to know that. Like, when can you make changes?
You make a change anytime. Typically, employers don't want to talk about it until they have to talk about it, which is usually 4 months before it renews. I make the argument that you should make a change, I call it off cycle. So if you renew in January, you should probably start talking to somebody in March and then make a change over the summer.
Why is that?
Just because you have a better game plan. You have
more time.
You're not rushed. You're not making your decisions based off of cost, because the cost of your insurance versus how you're going to tackle whatever you're trying to fix is... two different conversations.
Gotcha. That's a great... So any business owners...
So you have a conversation about who is your broker, 212 benefits, and who is your insurance carriers. Insert names. Two completely different decisions. One does not impact the other.
Gotcha.
It doesn't matter who your insurance broker is. The cost is basically the same. Unless you're doing some self-insured, direct contracting, doing something completely different, then that can be varying. But the cost is primarily the same.
So when you, as a business owner, you can make this change. A lot of organizations don't know this. It's not urgent until they feel like it's urgent. Right before the you're making your elections, open enrollment's like, oh my gosh, we got to look and shop now. You can be having these conversations year round, months in advance, and then it gives you a runway to make strategies, to ask questions versus 3 week turnaround time.
Correct. Yeah.
How hard is it to switch brokers?
It's a swipe of a pen.
It's really? Crazy.
One that signature. Easy?
If we walk in with a piece of paper and say, hey, Bob, sign this for me. Bob signs it. We submit that. We're the broker.
Damn.
And the same thing, like, again, I don't know if people do it as much as they used to, but back in the day, some brokers would walk into and be like, hey, I need you to sign this form for me so I can go look at numbers, submit that. And then we'd get a call like, yo, you know, we're not your broker anymore. Like, it's literally signing a piece of paper. Yeah.
Really? Just sign a piece of paper. You send it to the insurance carrier and then... Ooh. Now, I will say most insurance carriers will reach out to you and say, hey, heads up, we got this. Did you know it's coming? Do you want to reach out to them and make sure it was intended on? But yeah, it's just sign a piece of paper.
In regards to like this space career-wise, how does like a young person fall into this space?
Yeah, so like, you literally fall into it.
Okay. I was just curious because I've never heard of any of this, you know, in college or anything like that.
Unless you go to Georgia or Florida State, they have big insurance programs.
Oh, I did not know that.
Florida State and Georgia are two of they have huge risk management programs.
There's probably other colleges. We just happen to live in the Southeast. Yeah. Georgia and Florida State are the only two colleges that I'm aware of mm-hmm. that have a degree specifically catered to insurance.
Well, okay, so you come out of college with that degree. Why is that person more prepared than Eric off of the street?
I would argue that you're not.
Oh.
At all. You might know more about insurance as a whole, how it works, but as far as the practicality, is that a word?
We'll roll with it.
In the real world.
Sounds good to me.
It's the best way to learn is on the job.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I would argue any college degree. That's the thing. Like even when I went to nursing school, like you're studying all this information, pharmacology, clinical practices, until you're in a hospital setting doing the work, you don't throw that stuff out the window. But what did you study in college?
Business management administration.
Do you use anything you learned in college?
I still don't know half the terms that you bring up, and I run a business. Yeah. C-suite? I didn't know C-suite.
I fell into the industry. Okay. I graduated from North Florida. Swoop.
Oh,
transferred
sure,
from
swoop. It's been a while.
Transferred from UNF or transferred from UF to UNF. First job was selling off supplies for Staples, like on their business division, Staples Business Advantage, during a recession. Did that for 2.5 years.
I was trained
really well. Probably some of the best sales training I've ever had, like true sales training. But every week, I was expected to get 2 new accounts or 2 wins.
Wow.
So I'd have to open up 2 new accounts every single week. Didn't matter what I did the week before. I got to sell it. And then I'd be attached to that account for 60 or 90 days. And then they'd go off to the account management. And after 2.5 years of doing this, I'm like, especially during the recession, no one's going to buy office supplies during a recession. I wanted to sell something one time and be compensated for it somehow.
Residual income.
Yeah. Residual income. That was like my biggest motivation to do it. And I met Ray Strickland III. Shout out Ray Strickland.
Shout out.
His father owned an insurance agent who's our founder based off of in Ocala. And without going into all the details, he was looking to hire a new insurance producer. That's what we're called as salespeople. And he hired me and I started and didn't know anything. Didn't know what a deductible was. Didn't know what copays were. Just kind of figured it out, wore a shirt and tie to work every day, walked the streets.
You don't wear that anymore.
Do not wear that anymore. I don't own any ties anymore. Walk the streets of San Marco, Riverside, knocking on doors, pulling handles, passing out value flyers, trying to set appointments.
Are guys still doing that today? Or like Danny's testimony, it's more virtual reaction? Or like
some people are still doing it. I know people are still doing it.
Okay. Nice.
I think you can make a case for any cold calling, going door to door, anything can work. It's just the law of large numbers. The same as insurance.
I've done all of it. I've done cold calls on the phone. I've walked in. I've done LinkedIn. I've done strategic partner referrals. I've done working with centers of influence, working with retirement guys, CPAs. They all work. They don't all work all the time. So you have to recognize when it's not working to pivot to something else. Because right now I'm spending a lot of time on LinkedIn, like Danny talked about, and that's working right now. It's not going to work forever.
Sure.
So then you just pivot back to something else. We used to have 82 and 75 day, I think it was 75 day letters where we would do for the first 90 days that I worked here, I did market research. So I'd call and say, hey, Eric, I don't want to sell you anything. I just want to know when your insurance renews, who makes a decision, how many employees you have, and who's your broker, if you're okay with telling me that, just get the information, hang up.
Yeah.
Did that for 90 days. So I'm building like a database. And then we would literally print letters, real letters. And I'd hand sign all of them.
Real letters.
Put them in the mail and mail them to people. And then we call the next week and say, hey, Eric, did you get my letter? And Ray, our founder, would be like, that's where the lion starts. Because he'd say, yeah, I got your letter, but yeah, you didn't get my letter.
Hell, right.
And then you just start talking to him about, hey, this is what it was about. Can we talk about you got your insurance renewal coming up? And that's for, gosh, 15 years. That's how our agency got new business.
Nice.
He asked the question, how does someone fall into this industry? And he said it. The percentage of people that are like, I'm going to do this when I grow up, unless it's someone's son or daughter that go into it, right? What are benefits? Like a young person coming out of college, it's not on anyone's map. And it's a great career to go into.
And you learn so outside of just insurance, you learn about business, about how decisions are made. You can learn about cash flow. You can learn about financing risk. You can learn about marketing. You can learn about HR. You can learn about compliance. There's so many things that you can do outside of just insurance in the future just by learning the business. Because you truly learn the business.
Yeah.
Most companies, they've got an attorney, they've got a CPA, and they've got an insurance broker. And typically that insurance broker they might have one that does benefits and one that does property and casualty, like the general business stuff. Sometimes it's the same agency. Sometimes it might even be the same person. And did I say retirement? And the retirement too.
Yeah, it's in there.
So, and that's it. And if you get in with the right company, they could introduce you to their circle of people, and then those people become your clients.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough for that to happen in my career, where I met the right people, I earned their trust, worked with them, and they started introducing me to their friends that own businesses. And that's how I wound up with this sweet gator helmet.
If nothing else, you got that helmet. Forget business. I think, too, one of the most underrated thing professionally, especially if you're in sales, is residual income. So if you sell a widget and you make money for that widget, it's over. You don't get paid on that widget. And again, in this industry, you get residual income. If you don't do a good job, you're going to lose the client. But if you do a job, you're still getting paid for services.
Is it almost like a dividend in a weird way? Like you are getting a steady payoff of...
Yeah, so we're getting
you could look at it that way.
Yeah. We're getting a percentage, a commission of the insurance as long as they're our client.
Nice.
And then again, there's a ton of support on the back, and it's not just Joey. Like, this is not a sell and drop model. You don't sell something and run on. Let's talk about core values, mission statements, because we call them core behaviors or our degrees. I like this. I think it's very unique. We spent a lot of time building this. Talk about the degrees.
Yeah, so the degrees, there's 22 of them. We have one per week. Typically, a different employee every week announces what it is, shares a story about it. We do a midweek check-in. I'll just tell you my favorite degree is degree number 7. Stay humble. Don't forget where you came from. Don't let your ego or personal agenda get in the way of what's doing best for the team or the client. Worrying about how it makes us look, who gets credit, or what we will get in return is counterproductive. Remember what we are here for: to advocate, coordinate, and educate. So never forget that. Stay humble. I've been doing this for 17 years, and I try to remember 17 years ago, Joey, however old I was, walking the streets of Jacksonville. Like, don't forget that. I remember the very first client I got, very first one I got, I remember. They're still a client today.
You were excited.
They had 9 employees. The decision maker was a huge, and still is a huge, Green Bay Packers fan. And I saw that when I walked into their office. And I wrote a handwritten card, sent it to her, ended up meeting with them, earned their business. And that was, 17 years ago. And now I work with them. It's a smaller CPA firm out at the beach. And now I work with them to do my taxes because I despise taxes.
Did you hit them up after the Micah Parsons trade?
No. She was a huge Clay Matthews fan. She had Clay Matthews bobbleheads.
Yeah.
All over her office.
One more plug there so the concept behind the name, we did a name change rebrand 212. At 211 degrees, water is really hot. At 212 degrees, it's boiling, creates steam. So 1 degree change.
1 degree, 1 change.
Systematic results. The degrees, right? This is for our staff and our clients. We share these with clients and prospects, but what's nice now is, again, as our staff are starting to talk about each degree week to week. Mine is, I like saying this, be contagious, the good contagious. So at the end of the day, you're going to be contagious, and you get to choose whether or not that's in a good way or a bad way.
Yeah. Just don't sneeze on me.
Yeah. It's probably happening. 2 minutes left. What are we missing? Any more shout outs, predictions, things you're excited for?
I'm just excited for the fall, for all things fall. I love the summer. I love going to the beach. I love hopping in the pool, but the fall is just starts to cool down a little bit. Obviously football season, college football, pro football, holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, pumpkin season, pumpkin spice lattes. Dude. I usually have a couple a season.
A couple a day.
This is a fun time of year. It's busy, but you got to soak it in because it goes by quick.
Yeah, this last fourth quarter of the year is super busy in our industry. Season. But yeah, football, holidays with kids this age, it's the best.
School's back in.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Structure, consistency.
School's back out of summer.
I like it. Word, bro. Sound good. It sounded
school's
good.
Back.
I said school's back.
He did.
Out of summer.
Yeah.
It was a remix. That's the words.
Well, he did a remix.
Now
we
got the name of the song.
That's not Joey's good at butchering songs. I love it. Joey Jansen, principal of 212. We got Trey over there co-hosting, chopping it up on the cameras and editing. We appreciate you, Trey. Shout out to you once again. That's what the hell just happened.